let's go to sec to where we stopped. Romans, not Romans, Luke 10. Verse 14. Well, we have to do it in 13 first. Woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while also repented, sitting in the sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Now, what's this judgment about? Let's see if we can understand what the judgment's about. Let's go to James chapter 2. Well, first chapter 1. No, chapter 2, never mind. Let's go to verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. We are judged by the law of liberty. Now what does that mean? Let's look at one other place where the law of liberty is said. It's in chapter 1 of James. Well, we're going to study the first part of it later, but let's just look at the one verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So that we are judged by the law of liberty, and we are to look unto the perfect law of liberty. And if we're guilty of one point, we're guilty of the whole. But what is the perfect law of liberty? And why is it the basis of which we are judged? I wish Gary were here. This would get him.
Seems like that is the Christ himself, perfect law of liberty.
I know, but what does that mean? We are judged by the perfect law of liberty. It means that if you lean on your own arm of understanding, a return to cause and effect, for any reason, then you have left the perfect law of liberty. If you do work of any kind, then you are judged by the perfect law of liberty. Think about that.
Sabbath.
Well, and our works lead us. Anything. Does that communicate, or is that just a philosophy? So speak you, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I tell you what. Let's go back to Luke for a minute, and I want to show you something. Luke 10. Luke 10, 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Now we're going to spend a minute on hearing. He that heareth you heareth me. And we're going to spend a minute on hearing related to the law of liberty. And this is the one that's so confusing to so many people. Back to James. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I love that phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now that scripture, if you ever go to churches, that scripture is used every time that somebody wants to accomplish something. If they want to raise money, then you got to be a doer of the word and give money. If you want to get more members in, then you have to be a doer of the word and go out and convert people. But let's see, does that really mean that? Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. You got to hear this. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Anybody know what that means? You look into the law of liberty, but you see yourself. And when you see yourself as something to do. So you go and try to do it, but you forgot the manner of man that you were. And that's called a hearer of the law. Even though he's doing something, he's called a hearer only. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his word, in his deed. Now, the doer of the word is the one who doesn't do anything. The doer of the word is the one that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. And stays in that perfect law of liberty. And that requires what? It requires waiting only on God. And we've talked 1,000 times about how at every point, sometime in your life, there's going to be an issue which causes you to, everything in you will want to cry out to say, do something. The perfect law of liberty says, wait. Now for me, that happened just a few months after my conversion experience. I was hungry and cold. Everything in me said, do something. But I waited. Now that to me was a crossover. That in many ways that was more important than the conversion experience itself. And that same thing has to happen in each one of us. There's a conversion experience, and then there's a something. There's a crisis. It says, I cannot lean on my own arm of understanding. Everything in me is crying out, do something. But the perfect law of liberty says, wait on me. And that crisis is to, it doesn't matter what it is, because it's something that for you is life and death. I mean, it could be, it has nothing to do with life and death, but for you it would be life and death. And that crisis has to take place. And in many ways, it's more important than the conversion experience. Because at that point, by waiting only on Him, you find out that Jesus Christ is your only life. And then you never forget that. You never... I'm not saying you never lean on your own arm of understanding, but you quickly see how stupid it is. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
Does anybody experience that in a real dramatic way? When you're faced with a crisis and everything, every counselor, every voice, everything says, do something. Well, it will happen, I promise. It may not happen. I mean, at some point, it has to happen because it is the final test. It is the situation that you confront that finds out whether or not you believe or not, or whether it's a philosophy. Now, that's why we are judged by the perfect law of liberty. It doesn't mean you're going to get wiped out if you screw up, but it means that that's the basis of judgment, that God looks at you. Remember, let's go to Luke 16. No, is it Luke 16? No, it's John 16. I'm sorry. Well, we don't have anything else to, so it's all right. Start in chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Wait.
Luke 15, verse 18. John 15, verse 18. I'm sorry. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Does the world hate you? Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Everybody, we've talked about that one 100 times. This was a culture that everything in them was sin. But if he had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. What does that mean? Because his one real reason that he came was to reveal the meaning of the sin offering. Unless he had come to reveal the meaning of the sin offering, only a handful of people would have looked on him, looked at his day and were glad. But now they don't have no excuse for their self-realization. They're seeking after self. That's the meaning of it.
Yeah.
If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written, in their law they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And in Greek it says, he shall testify only of me. Now, then it goes down. I had to read all that to get to the point of what we started. What does it mean to hear him? And go down to chapter 16, verse 7 now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Those are the three things that he does. He reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment because he is testifying only of the Son. But he's testifying only of the Son in terms of location of sphere. You remember that term in Greek? And it means that you must know that he is your only life. He is your only self. Therefore, once you know that he is your only self, then the understanding of the sin offering becomes manifest. You see that you can't love the world. You can't have any time and space opinions. But because he is testifying, he said he'll testify of sin because they believe not on me. And when they believe not on him, then they are outside the perfect law of liberty. Because the belief system, you're going to have to see me drop a pencil again. The belief, the word pistis, means not some intellectual belief. It means he is the only one on which you rely or trust. There's nothing else. And it's that if he's not there, you die. He will testify only of him. And he will convict the world of sin because they believe not on him. Of righteousness because he's gone to the Father. That's the only thing you can be right about. And of judgment because the king, prince of the world has been judged. That's the only judgment that you can testify of. Can you understand what the perfect law of liberty means a little bit? And you hear, if you, back to James. But whoso looketh into the, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He's a doer of the word because he hears and does nothing. Anybody have any response to that? That's as wild as it gets.
Is this the same as people robbing up homeless people and bring them here?
Same thing. Are you rounding up homeless people and bringing them? You just be. God will bring whatever. That's the same as go ye into all the world and testify. That's not a command. It's not aorist tense, but it's one of the stupid tenses that I can't remember. But it means as you go into your world, because you believe you speak. Because you speak, some will hear. When you speak, you're a prophet. Some will hear, you're an evangelist. And you have to deal with them. Then you become a... First of all, because you believe and you can only speak, that makes you an apostle. You fall into the ground and die. Then because you've fallen into the ground and died, you become an evangelist because you try not to speak. If anybody wants to speak, then they haven't heard. But you try not to speak, but everything in you says you've got to speak. So finally you start speaking, and then you're an apostle, then a prophet because you're speaking. Forth telling, then you're an evangelist because some people hear, and then you become a pastor teacher because what are you going to do with the people that heard? That's the fivefold ministry, but the problem is the modern church says that's five different people. But it's all because you heard and didn't turn away from that perfect law of liberty, and you were judged therein by that perfect law of liberty, and so will the human race be judged. Now we don't know, you know, it's none of our business what the judgment is, but that has to be spoken. Okay? That's enough for today.
It seems like that I have experienced many times this in a very small way. Very small way, they wouldn't be called traumatic anyway.
Well, that's what it means. He won't put anything on you more than you can bear, so don't worry about it. If you start thinking about it, then you're in trouble.
All right.
Because then you will rationalize, justify, figure out. For some reason, I had this thought this morning when I was out picking up the junk in the neighborhood. What happens if I die tomorrow?
You had to talk with the animals.
I said, what would happen to this body, this group, if I died tomorrow? It would continue, but does anybody have the zeal? I'm sure that then it finally it sort of it went away because that's God's business too. All right. Any response to any of that, Mr. Baljo? What would happen if the God's movement was that Mr. Baljo should be the one with the zeal? That would be interesting. Take it, big guy.